Facebook Live, 104.1 Nick Reed. We also stream the video audio, of course, as well at ksgf.com. And you can subscribe Spotify, iTunes. Those are some of the easiest ways, of course, 104.1. We do have that 1260 AM. If you like the feel and the sound of the old-fashioned radio, you can go there as well. I'm very pleased to welcome to the show one of my dear friends, Kevin. Am I saying your last name? You know,
McAllister's fine.
Oh, okay, very good.
Just like in the movie Home Alone, Kevin McAllister.
Yeah.
Easy to remember.
Now I'm going to explain to people why it is that I asked that question here in a moment. But I've got to tell you, yesterday when you called me, I kid you not, I was in the middle of a conversation about you. I didn't tell you that at the time.
Oh, wow.
I was in the middle of talking about you to the OM here, and I said, I kid you not, that is him calling me right now. And I just thought that was a funny coincidence. And I say one of my dearest friends, even though we haven't seen each other for years and we don't talk on a consistent basis, we send, you know, messages back and forth to one another. But you called yesterday and I called you back and you were telling me about a situation that you're in, and I you're kind enough to share it. Now, the reason I was asking last night, because you are in the middle of a certain, I'm going to let you explain all of this, but so people can understand why I'm not setting it up better than I am, is because you are in a situation currently that could go one way or the other, depending on an upcoming meeting. And so I don't want to give out any information that you don't want put out there at this particular time.
Sure.
And so that's why I'm going to just let you go with it. Of course, I may ask questions periodically as well, and let people know that my dear friend here, just so you can anticipate how things are going to go, he can get himself very passionate. I think that's fair to say.
I would also like to say that Nick and I, our paths crossed for the first time in 1999. Mm-hmm. And I was probably a very passionate defender of Bill Clinton.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
And, I'm one of these people that likes to sit and I want to listen to common sense, you know.
Right.
I was in that hive mind, the liberal hive mind, although I don't think there's a bigger fan in this world of Ronald Reagan than myself.
Mm.
So I really was very middle of the road, and I would expect I pretty much am now, although I don't know that the middle of the road when it comes to politics is as easily defined as it once was, even 20 years ago. Someone says Kamala Harris is a moderate. Well, what does that actually mean? Does she have any conservative values? You know, so I set that up by saying I'm not coming from a place that I've always been this. I am a hardcore conservative, and I don't mind sharing this. I just want your audience to understand. Let me think about how I'm going to say this. I'm a gay conservative. Mm. And
you're a rarity.
Maybe not as much as we think.
But.
Let me just say this. You know, it's not something it's because I'm a Christian. So I struggle with it. So I set that up because I want your audience to understand where I'm coming from as a conservative. You know, somebody at work one time asked me for my gay cards because I like NASCAR. I'm a conservative and I'm a man. You know, and it's a difficult situation. But the purpose of this call this morning is I got called into the office with the president of the company and the general manager. Now, I am a manager of a radio station, and 60% of my staff is black. All of those staff members were hand chosen by me and taken to the general manager as somebody I wanted to hire. When I came there, there were zero black members on the air staff, and not because there wasn't diversity the applicants weren't there. It just wasn't the case. So whenever the George Floyd thing went down, and tell me if I'm being windy, Nick, please jump in anytime. When the George Floyd thing went down, because of the four black staff members I have, it became, you know, an issue that they personally felt. And I think you'd be hard felt to find anyone in America, black, white, Latino, whatever, that would say that, you know, the way he died mm-hmm. is wrong. That's unfortunate, you know, and we don't know all the details on either side. Well, I know we've seen the body cam footage with George Floyd, but that's going to ultimately play itself out. But I don't think you're going to find anyone that's going to disagree that no one should die like that. And that's irresponsible. And, you know, that'll play out in the courts. So we had a conference call with the staff members because they felt this was around the time that they had a blackout day where, you know, black staff members either didn't come to work, wouldn't come to work, or whatever the circumstance was. I don't remember, but it's fine. You know, I was okay with that because I did have one staff member honor that and respect that. And fine, that's fine, no problem. And during that call, I was told what was said by one of the staff members is that her white friends aren't posting anything on social media. And she felt it was disrespectful because they're not speaking up. The president of the company actually stepped up and said, yeah, he also felt, and I don't want to put words in his mouth, but yeah, we should be speaking up. Well, the reason I hadn't been speaking up is because I didn't know what I could and could not say, because if you're a white American today, a white male today, you're automatically racist in the eyes of especially the liberal side, not all black people. Unlike Joe Biden, I don't think all black people think the same. That's not the case. I have one of the staff members I have, I mean, I have multiple, but what I just so incredibly close with, and he's just so amazing to talk to. And, you know, he listens and we go back and forth, and I love the fact that we can do that. So, she felt that we needed to post. So that was encouraged. So I thought, you know what? All right. I've just been given the green light. So let me do some research. I knew where my mindset was, but I want to make sure that I'm not doing anything wrong. So I go online and I start doing research, and I am a fan of Candace Owens. I'm a fan of Ben Shapiro. I'm a fan of Charlie Kirk, Officer Tatum. If you don't follow him on YouTube, I would suggest you watch him. And so I started posting on YouTube videos that were basically the narrative, not an argument. There was no hate, nothing. Just basically these were black Americans who had walked away from the liberal mindset because they actually opened their eyes. I posted where Senator Rick Scott from South Carolina gave his speech on the floor of the Senate, and he talked about how he was failing out of high school and that he didn't have a father in his home. And his mother and his mentor, who was a white man, told him to look in the mirror. There's only one person that can make you not a victim, and that's you. He was shut down by the Democrats. And so I started posting these things. Well, if you're not familiar with Liberty University, there's a Liberty University is in Lynchburg, Virginia, and the president of the college is Jerry Falwell Jr., Jerry Falwell's son. I don't know the exact, I haven't seen the picture, but I know he posted a picture recently. If you've talked about it on your show, your audience may be familiar. So our president of our company thought, you know, since the mighty have fallen in that situation, I wonder how our managers are posting and doing on social media. So he went and started looking, and he came across my Facebook page. And he basically said to me, after 19 years of plus of employment at this place and protecting the brand, he wanted to, I need to take one step back here because this will make sense. He wanted to create, and this is just one of the names that was thrown out, a blackboard, meaning, you know, white people ask black people questions and black people will answer them. Like, you know, is it okay to take a black child if you go to their birthday party, a white doll, or should you take a black doll? Those kinds of things. Okay, fine. But the radio station I program is a top 40 pop radio station, and news is not our big deal. That's not what we do. People come to us to get away from the negativity. So I kind of fought back on it a little bit. So finally, I thought whenever it was coming down to this is going to be something that they're going to have to do a 3-4 segment, a minute segment on the radio, I thought, okay, I want to protect my radio station here. And I looked back at last four ratings periods, and I found out that 13% of our audience is black, 87% white, Hispanic, whatever. So I threw those numbers out in a conference call to our general manager, who was gung-ho about this bit on the radio. And I said, let's assume that 13%, that 13% is 100% behind the current narrative. So that takes us to 87%. Let's half that to 43.5%, which I think is a pretty fair assessment of how and reflection of how the country stands right now. So now we're at 43.5%. Are you willing to sacrifice 43.5% of our audience with this narrative every time it goes on the radio? And immediately his position was, no, we're not willing to do that. You know, and then we started discussing other options, which it ended up turning into a podcast. So it wouldn't be on the air, but it would be, I'm fine with that. Sure.
Yeah. And if I can, I want to, because I know your thinking, and I want to make sure people understand this as well. When you ask a question like, are you willing to give up 43% for this narrative? Some people may infer that that is a question being asked to make a point. But knowing you, I know that that is a question that's genuinely asking, listen, here's a business decision we have to make. These are the numbers. This is the portion of the audience that most likely is going to be on a side of this, that there will be a tune out factor. And as a right. And so is this, you know, is this something we are, is the cause worth it for you? So I just want people to know that wasn't a question that you would ask to make a point, but really genuinely finding out from a business position, is this the direction you want to go? And he said yes.
Yes, and thank you for clarifying that, because this actually does go to the point of where we're going on this. You know, because advertising, I don't know if anyone knows, but because of the coronavirus, I mean, advertising is it's the heart, lifeblood of broadcasting. And advertising is down. The company I work for is a family business, so we're struggling. And so, yes, that was the point. Thank you for clarifying that, Nick. So the agreement was made. It was going to be a podcast. Well, guess what's not happened? Is that podcast hasn't come to fruition. I mean, not because of me, because I have moved on it and tried to ask questions, where are we on this? But the staff members apparently feel deflated. That it's not going to be on something on the radio, and they haven't pursued it any further. So I was called into this meeting, and the general manager or the president of the company said to me, you know, those statistics that you threw out when we were discussing this piece that we were going to do, after looking at your Facebook page, now I wonder, did you have a personal agenda, or were you trying to protect the brand? And that highly offended me, first of all, because I did understand from an audience perspective. You know, one of my other staff members who has a nationally syndicated show, she said her boss has said, you know, you don't go to CNN and see music videos between the news stories. Well, you rarely see an actual news story on CNN, but you don't go there to Fox or wherever and actually see, you know, you won't see music videos. That's not what people come to them for. They don't come to my radio station to hear politics between the fun. And so that's where my head was. So he said to me, he clarified to me that the point that was being made is that I've lost credibility with my staff when I'm being charged with leading this segment on a podcast, but yet on my social media, my position is completely opposite of what I am trying to let them say on social media. My answer to that was, this is your business. This is not my business.
Right.
You pay me to protect this brand, and I'm doing what you've asked me to do. If I had a personal agenda, I wouldn't have continued pursuing this. I would have kind of just let it die. But I haven't, because you made this a mission for me, and I'm doing that. So the basic story is I was asked to, there's a choice of words here, whitewash my Facebook page. I was asked to unfriend everyone on the staff. I was asked to take my association after 19 plus years with this radio station and group. I was asked to remove that I'm employed there from my Facebook profile. And I chose to make my page private after this. It was public before. I chose to do that. I wasn't told to make it private. And it's infuriated me, because I walked out of there feeling like, okay, I've finally been able to say some of these things to the president of the company that I've been wanting to say. But then when I went to my office and I started cleaning up my Facebook page, I realized how hypocritical I was being, and how I'm being asked to wash away everything that I, you know, what I believe in here. They can speak, but I can't. And I asked that question, why can't I? Well, I'm a manager. That's why I can't. And he made it clear to me, if there's another staff member, I don't know if he said manager, but staff member, the purpose was I was a manager. So if anyone else had Joe Biden stuff all over their page, which I didn't have Trump stuff all over my page, mine was simply just the conservative position on why let's look at people as people and not as races. When you bring race into it, that's when it becomes an issue. These are people. Let's deal with the issues we have. This is a much deeper conversation, Nick, and I want you to stop me when you can. This is my final point. You probably have a bottom of the hour coming up. So my final point being is I washed all that stuff off my Facebook page, and now I'm angry. And I sent him screenshots of another staff member who was just the opposite of me, talking about posting an article of the president is responsible for killing my dad. If you don't like, if you're okay with all lives matter and blue lives matter, but not black lives matter, your problem is obviously black. So those are the things that are posted on his Facebook page. I sent that to our president of our company, and he texted me back and said, there are differences here. And that staff member is also black. So that's where we stand. I have a meeting Monday, and I am going to take this weekend to pray about it and make sure that when I go into this meeting that I make it clear that this is not something I'm willing to bend on. My morals are important to me. I'm not a racist person. I don't hate people. I don't hate anyone. As a matter of fact, I'm a terrible judge of character. I try to give everyone the benefit of the doubt, and I hope and I believe that Nick could probably I hope could agree that that is the case. I do believe in people. I really, really do. And I'm hurt by this, man. I'm hurt.
And there, like I said, I wanted you. You were kind enough to share this one. We hear some of this stuff happening on a high profile level, oftentimes, and it impacts real people. And I know you personally, and I know you are one of the most fair, generous person when it comes to giving people the benefit of the doubt that I know, and to see, and that's one of the things, just as a person, that is it's horrible to me, is that knowing you, that people, that, you know, a good person will be treated this way. Somebody who, you know, supposedly the whole goal here is love and coming together, and there is no greater example of a person that does that than you, and yet you are the one that is being treated this way. You are the one who is being forced to change who you are and to keep your mouth shut and to not speak up about what you believe because it isn't what they tell you you're supposed to believe. I guess this is the white privilege we keep hearing about, what you're getting to through right now.
Are you up against a clock time?
I didn't know if you had any more time or what your situation was.
I do have time. I'd be happy to wait through the break if you'd like.
Okay, all right, So what we're going to do is we've got a quick break, and then traffic and Don Luzader, he's going to update us on the latest news as well, and then we'll continue on with my friend Kevin relaying what he's been going through for some time now. And part of it too is it can happen to any of us, and one of the horrible things about it is that the victims tend to be some of the best amongst us, and those who exhibit the sort of personality traits that we're told we are supposed to exhibit, yet when it's done, when equality is presented, those are the people that are treated so poorly. So we'll continue on here on Springfield's Talk 104.1. I am Nick Reed. Don Luzader with the latest news update.
And good Friday morning. Kansas City extending restrictions meant to slow the spread of the coronavirus until at least the middle of January. The mayor making that announcement Thursday. His order requires people to continue to wear masks in all indoor public spaces where social distancing is not possible. Restaurants and bars will continue to be limited to 50% capacity. Kansas City has averaged at least 100 confirmed cases of the virus each day for weeks. And after a 17-day absence, the St. Louis Cardinals are scheduled to resume their season Saturday afternoon in Chicago with a doubleheader against the White Sox. The team rented 41 cars so that each member of its traveling party can drive themselves to Chicago today. It adds one more day of isolation after 10 players and 8 staff members tested positive for COVID-19. And that is the latest news.
The KTTS First Alert forecast gradually becoming sunny today, a high of 89 expected. It is 90, or it could feel as warm as 96 with the heat index factor. Mostly clear tonight, 70 for a low. Slight chance of showers, thunderstorms tomorrow. Otherwise, sunny with a high of 90. Sunday and Monday, sunny with a high of 87 expected. It's 73 and sunny here at the KSGF studios. We are streaming live on Facebook, also KSGF.com, and you can subscribe to catch the show, Spotify and iTunes. We're talking with a good friend of mine, Kevin McAllister, and he's been not going to give too much background. You can go listen to the podcast if you missed any of it. But as a person who is in the same industry, he and I used to work together years ago, mid to late 90s. While as honestly and fairly he can exercise his duty in his position with the station, with the company, because he has not, and you can correct me if I mischaracterize any of this as we recap a little bit, publicly displayed opinions that are counter to his, but are in line with certain political correct ideas when it comes to Black Lives Matter and so forth. He has been dealing with issues, if you will. And where we left off is you posted on your Facebook page after it was relayed to you that as a white person, you need to be active in the quote conversation regarding race relations. And some of the postings you put were people like Tim Scott, Republican of South Carolina, who's African-American, Candace Owen, who is African-American. They're conservative, though, so they don't have they have a diversity of opinions and beliefs. And evidently, that wasn't the right sort of, I guess, black person to post. So you have been told you need to scrub your Facebook page. This is your personal page. And you began to do it, but then you were conflicted and said, no, this isn't right. And so you have another meeting on Monday to see where things go from there. Now, we've been very particular about not saying, being too specific about a number of things, because I don't want to cause any additional hassle for you before that Monday meeting. But is that a fair characterization where we are in the conversation?
Absolutely. Okay. And absolutely. And there are a couple of things I'd like to say is we didn't work together. I was your boss.
That's, well, the first time around. The first time around.
That's true. That's true.
Yes, you were. And I learned more from you, not just in radio, but how to treat people than I think I've learned from anyone. And I've always been very, very grateful for that. There are a couple of things I remember. I'll take this moment to mention it before we continue on with what we were talking about. And, you know, one of the things that I've always remembered, and I've passed this along to other people, and I don't know if you remember telling me this or not, but you said, always treat people who work for you like one day you may need a job from them. And
right.
And that has always stuck with me, and I've always taken that into consideration. And you also, you know, talked to me about the importance of not burning bridges, and it was part of the first lesson. You never know whom it is you may need a job from. And so when I got blown out at Zimmer in Joplin just because of, you know, they got rid of everyone on a station, they were tweaking the format and so forth, it was the OM who let me know the news, and the general manager was in a meeting, but his door was open, and I walked in, and I could see the look on his face because he knew what had just happened, and I shook his hand and told him I really appreciated the time working here, and I just wanted to say thank you, and I walked out. Now, I've never even spoken to him again, but it was also the right thing to do. But those are just so you know, those are things that I never probably, I know I wouldn't have thought to do had it not been for some of the lessons you taught me, and I've greatly appreciated that.
Well, thank you for the kind words. And a couple of things I want to clarify before I go into the story anymore is the president of our company, there are very few people on this earth that I respect more than him. During these troubled financial times, not one person has lost their job. He has made cuts. He's taken a pay cut. He's the president of the company. It's his family business. But he has assured us that once the company, we've taken pay cuts, but once the company gets back to profitability for a couple of months and we see a trend of that, we will get the cuts that came, we will get that money, but we will get those that are back to our regular salary. So I want to make sure I express the respect I have for this man and how he is always as fair-minded as he can be, I believe. I've learned a lot from him. But this situation, I believe he's being unreasonable. And he's asking me to sacrifice my morals for what I believe and perceive to be a politically correct position. I'm being asked to, I asked the question of someone else, can I do a podcast? because I'm a radio personality, can I do a podcast? Well, as long as it doesn't have to do anything with the radio station. Well, actually, hang on. Let me think about that. Okay, so now what are you saying to me is that you own everything I say?
Right.
Outside of when I'm on the air on your radio station, you own everything I say, no matter where I say it, how I say it, when I say it? I understand that I'm a public figure, and I understand that I represent your brand. But I also have a personal life, so at what point can I make decisions and say how I feel? I don't want to be a hypocrite, and that's where I'm having trouble. And I don't want to lose my job. I've been there 19 years. But if it happens, I believe that God has me. You know, this weekend, I'm going to take this weekend to pray and reflect, and how, whatever I say Monday, I'm going to have faith that it's coming from God. You know, fear is not of God. And faith is of God, and I have faith that God's going to take care of me in this situation. So I would just ask, and I thank you for the time this morning.
Well, of course.
I just ask that your audience pray about it. And you know what? This is a perfect reflection of where we are in America today. I said to him in that meeting two things, and then I'll let you do your thing. One thing I said to him was, I recalled to him how we were encouraged to post on social media. I said, but one thing you did not say is P.S., only post if you agree with the narrative.
Yeah.
You didn't say that to me. And what's happening here is I don't agree with it, and that's why this is a problem. And the second thing is, if only one side is allowed to talk, it's not conversation. That side are making demands. And you're never going to come to a consensus, or anyone will win in that situation. Both sides have to be able to speak. That's my story, my friend, and I'd be happy if you know, what are your thoughts?
Well, one, and I told you yesterday, and I did it, and I will do it again. I did pray for you, and I asked, you know, again, those, because it's, you know, it is easy for people who aren't in these situations to say, well, I would just quit, or I wouldn't do this. But when it comes down to it, the reality is 99%+ of people, that's their job, that's their livelihood. And they start to think, well, what am I going to do if I lose my job? And so to really take the stand, not for the purpose of taking a stand, but because it's the right thing to do, you know, that is something that most people don't do. And so I would ask people who are the praying type to, you know, to be with you in that. But, you know, something else I thought about after our conversation is that I hesitated to even talk about this because it can sound sort of self-righteous. But then I thought, you know what? No, the truth is the truth. I didn't just pray for you. I prayed for them as well, because it is.
Amen.
This isn't about winning. This isn't, oh, let's pray that my friend wins and really shows them. Because they're in a bad place in their mind. That is, they're trapped. They're trapped in this place that isn't of, I know this, people are going to be like, what is he talking about? But it's not of love. Love isn't just a feeling, but love is an action as well. And you are not displaying love when you tell someone else, you have to not only believe what I believe, but you have to go out there and pretend as if you do. Love isn't saying, I won't have a conversation with you or be friends with you or care about you unless you say what I want you to believe. That's not love. And so they're trapped in this place in which they think, I'm sure, that what they're doing is the right thing to do, but it's not. And it's an unhappy place, I think. And people don't realize it when they get into it. And so, you know, we're never, as a society, as a country, as a people, as a race, going to have this, you know, this be in a good place until people can learn that part of loving others is to allow others to be who they are and not dictate to them who they have to be. And so, you know, so I also put prayer for those folks that they get out of that trap, because it is not a fulfilling place to be. And so I would encourage others to do the same thing as well. And like I said, I know it kind of sounds self-righteous, but that's how I feel.
No, I don't think it does. And let me just say, I cannot stress enough how much I care about the president of this company, how much he has protected me over the years. You know, as a manager, I put my, you know, I'm going to say and do things and get myself in bad situations at times. This man has protected me, but he's done what's right. Mm-hmm. He's always done what's right. This is the kind of man that when I go to him and I ask him for money for his business, I feel like I'm going to dad and asking for an allowance.
Yeah.
That's the kind of relationship, you know, it's like that. So I love this man dearly. I respect him dearly. I just feel, you know, and I've always, I don't want to say coward, because I don't ever cower, but I respect his position. Mm-hmm. But in this situation, I feel like I'm being personally asked to bend on my morals. And bend, because it's politics, I'm asked to be, I would react the same way if I were asked to take my love of Jesus off my Facebook page.
Yeah.
I would react just as vicious or, you know, vigorously. I don't use the word vicious, but vigorously, you know, this is that important to me. And so anyway, he is not a villain. The president of this company is not, absolutely not a villain. I want to make that very, very clear. He is a good man, and he wants to protect his people. This is a situation we're just going to have to work through. And I thank you. Thank you.
Well,
for your time this morning.
Well, thank you.
I thank you.
And if it's appropriate, after you have this meeting with them to share with us, I'd love to have you do that if that's something you want to do. And I just want to, so there is no confusion when Kevin's talking about this company. We work for separate companies. I don't want there to be any confusion because people know that we have stations in other markets. This isn't any connection to this company by any stretch.
Right.
Well, thank you, my friend. Love you dearly. We'll be praying for you, and I know a lot of the people that are listening will be as well. And we're with you. We're with you.
And my final word to your audience and to you is, people, just stand up for what's right.
Yeah.
Because if we're not speaking, we don't have a nation, and there's no conversation. Don't argue. I'm not going to argue. Just stand up for what's right. I love you too, my friend. And you guys have a good day. God bless you.
All right. Take care, my friend. Springfield's Talk 104.1. I'm Nick Reed.